scripture that we've been looking at in Matthew chapter 6 is when Jesus was asked, teach us to pray. And he says, so pray in this way. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And so when we think about kingdom, scripture showing us that part of that kingdom, I would say the majority of the kingdom is about what happens on the earth, not a place we're going. And I know when I was younger in the Lord, I thought that. When I thought of the kingdom of God, I thought about what is going to happen in the future when there's going to be this pristine environment and there will be no tears and there'll be everybody will do what's right. But obviously in our realm and in our context, there's not a perfect person and there's not a perfect realm. But Jesus is saying that even in this realm, my kingdom comes and it comes from heaven to earth. Not, we don't go from earth to heaven. And so this is what we've been exploring. Kingdom. We looked at Luke chapter 17 verses 20. The Pharisees asked Jesus about the kingdom and when it would come. And he said, the kingdom does not come with observation. So there's another thing about the kingdom. It's not something that you're just going to see or what you expect to see. Or it's somewhere you go. Like you don't go to the White House to see the kingdom. Or you don't go, do you go to the White House to see America? America is much bigger. The United States of America is much bigger and broader than just the White House. And so it's not something you observe, but part of the kingdom, Jesus said, is where? It's within you. The kingdom of God is within you. Jesus, John the Baptist, they said things like the kingdom of God is at hand. It's close. The kingdom of God is near. And then ultimately the kingdom of God is within you. It's in you. So if the kingdom is not, if you don't feel the kingdom is being expressed appropriately in some environment, bring it. Because that's who you are. Father wants to bring his kingdom to those situations. And he's going to do it through you. So we looked at what is kingdom. That's the series. Kingdom is about transformation. This is all review. Kingdom is about transformation, not destination. It's about here and now. If you read the context of most, if not all, of kingdom talk in the scripture, it talks about very practical things. Jesus said this. He said, don't be anxious about your life. Don't worry about what you eat or what you drink or what you're going to put on your body. He said, look at the birds of the air. He said, they get fed. If you come to our house, you'll see birdies eating out in front of our house because God's feeding the birds through Jackie. You'll see them every day. You'll see the squirrel try and climb the pole. And so he jumps and he slides down the pole. And so Jackie put out peanuts for him in shells so he wouldn't steal the bird's food. He said, don't worry. He says, look at the birds. They're fed. Then he says, look at the lilies of the ground, flowers. So Jesus is talking about anxiousness, which the opposite of that would be peace. He's talking about birds. He's talking about flowers. And he says this, don't worry about those things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. He's talking about practical, everyday things. He's not saying, don't be anxious about all that stuff because one day you're going to die and go to heaven. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, seek ye first the kingdom here, kingdom things, and those things, they come. So the kingdom is not about a destination. It's about transformation. Same with this idea of eternal life. We tend to put eternal life out there. Something that we have, like it's about heaven. We're going to heaven. Do you have eternal life? What we mean by that is, are you going to heaven? That is not what the scriptures talk about, eternal life. Eternal life is God life, life more abundantly. God reordering us, taking us from chaos to order, bringing us into the mind of God. Into the expression of God. The eternal life is about building on solid ground. About making good choices. About choosing light. Okay? So that's what we looked at. Salvation's primary focus is not the afterlife, but eternal life. Those are different things. Then last week, we looked at the scripture that said, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Again, very practical things. Kingdom. This is a priority for followers of Jesus. Kingdom. Jesus said, follow me. Jesus brought kingdom wherever he went. So we're to bring kingdom. And if we're bringing it, it will bring righteousness, which is just doing right. It will bring peace to chaos, and it will bring joy out of sorrow. We sang it today. He makes graves into what? Gardens. Okay, is that your expression in your scenarios that you find yourself in? Do you express that in your spheres of influence? You take graves and you turn them into gardens. Are you the person turning gardens into graves? Okay, so the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy. One of the things we looked at in this area of peace talked about the Steeler game, right? And if you were here, what I mentioned was the two ways that you can watch the Steeler game. You can either watch the Steeler game live, or you can record it if you weren't able to sit in front of the TV. And that if you recorded it, you do not want someone to come before you watched it and tell you the outcome. Like, don't, like all these reality shows. If you didn't get to watch the finale of Survivor, somebody tells you the end. Why? Because it takes the emotion out of it. It takes the highs and the lows, and you experiencing it in time out of it. But that is really one of the aspects of peace that we talked about. God shows us the end. God shows us what happens. And then we live it out in real time and we can have peace. He shows us that all things are being reconciled to him in heaven and earth. Do we believe that? It's not my experience. It's not the experience of people in Ukraine right now. Wasn't the experience of people in the Holocaust. Wasn't the experience of people in the Vietnam War. And we can go on and on and on and on. Or your individual, not my, doesn't seem like God's reconciling it. No. God is reconciling all things to himself in heaven and on earth. He is. And therefore I can come back and I can watch it play out with peace. And I can say with Job, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. And so the righteousness, joy, and peace is the kingdom. So today, we're going to look at actually two aspects of the kingdom. One, that the kingdom comes gradually. I realize we don't like that. We don't like that in our society. We want things now. Like if my computer takes longer than a minute to boot up, I'm like, what's wrong? Right? Or you try to open a program and you're watching that thing spin. We want it now. I went to McDonald's about, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, and they said, sir, because my sister makes, well, everybody makes fun of me, but my sister makes fun of me about how I order food. She calls me the extra, extra guy. So when I ordered at McDonald's this time, I ordered a filet of fish with extra tartar. So per rules, they're not just allowed to take an existing fish and squeeze some more tartar in there. You got to make a whole new fish sandwich. So I pay and I pull up to the window and they said, sir, because of your fish sandwich, would you mind just pulling over into slot number 2 and we'll bring it out to you? And I said, sure. So I sat over there in slot number 2 for 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And I thought, what's going on here? So I went inside. And they're busy as bees. I mean, it was definitely not a grave being turned into gardens. It was a garden being turned into a grave. I mean, they were screaming at one another, where's the order for this fries? And then finally some guy runs out, takes an order to the person that was next to me, and he comes in, he goes, sir, what are you waiting for? And I said my order, and the lady said, that's his food there. It's been sitting there. It's supposed to go out. And he goes, you know what? Let me get you some new fries. And I said, well, the two sandwiches that are in there, I don't want either. I want new sandwiches too. So I waited another 5 minutes. 20 minutes at McDonald's. I want it now. I don't like gradually. So the kingdom of God comes gradually. I don't like that. I don't like that Father's not in a hurry. I don't like that God doesn't finalize things in my lifetime. I don't like that my natural man does not like that I came in part 2,443,992 of the episode. And I stepped into time and I'll be out of time. I don't like that. You go into a movie, right? And you miss the first 5 minutes. You miss the storyline. So the kingdom comes gradually. Here's the scripture that we're going to look at today. Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 through 33. Jesus told them a parable. Jesus would tell stories. He would tell stories to express the kingdom. He wouldn't give us bullet points. He would tell stories. And so they would breathe, because the word's alive. It breathes. Just like Jesus is alive. Jesus is the word. He said this in Sunday school. For God so loved the world, he didn't give us a book. For God so loved the world, he gave us his son. He gave us himself. But anyway, he told a story. He says, the kingdom of heaven. Okay, whenever you see the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, it's talking about the kingdom of God's domain, God's influence on the earth and in heaven. But it's not talking about just heaven. It's talking about what's taking place on the earth. So here's the story. So the kingdom of heaven's like a mustard seed. A man took a plant, and though it's the smallest of all seeds, okay, he's saying it starts small. Starts small, and when he plants it, and it grows, and it becomes one of the largest garden plants, and it becomes a tree, and birds come and perch on its branches. Right? So when you plant an acorn, you're not getting an oak in a week. You're not getting it in 5 years. It takes a lifetime. And so Jesus goes on to tells him another story. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven's like yeast that a woman took and put it in 60 pounds in a flour and worked it all through the dough. And what happened? Eventually it all rises. So again, God's no hurry. The kingdom of God comes gradually. Do you like that? You know why it comes gradually? Because of you. Because of me. Because love does not coerce. God is perfect love. He does not coerce. He does not manipulate mankind. He's working with us to bring us to a repentance, to change, for us to change our minds so that we will work with him, because that's what love does. And so there's contrasting eschatologies as theologians look down the road, and some believe that God is going to come and he's going to immediately change things in his presence, and he's just going to wipe out everybody that doesn't agree with him, and he's going to just welcome everybody that agrees with him. That's one idea. Other theologians say, no, God is going to gradually bring his influence and his love to bear upon people, and they're going to willfully, gradually be transformed into his image. The kingdom comes slowly, incrementally, like yeast and bread. He even said it can't be observed. It comes slowly, not quickly. And so what God is doing as he brings his kingdom, as we talked about this a little bit, is he's bringing chaos into order. Why does it have to happen gradually? Why does God have to work gradually in your life? because he's turning your chaos into order. He's not just coming in like thunder and lightning and saying, this is the way it's going to be. He works with us in love and in patience, mercy and grace. God, bring justice to the world now. Do you want me to bring justice to you now? Yes, bring justice. Two men at an altar. One says, Lord, I thank you I'm not like other men. I thank you I'm perfectly just, and I thank you I'm not like that guy especially. Another man can't even lift his eyes. Lord, have mercy on me. Which one are you at the altar? One walked away righteous. One walked away more transformed into the image of the kingdom. The other one did not. And so the reason the reality is that it's coming gradually is because God is bringing chaos into order, and the chaos that he's bringing are image bearers who are, God wants them to participate in this ministry of reconciliation, and he's doing it through patience and kindness and love and discipline, and it's taking ages. So it happens gradually. He's turning our chaos into order, and he wants willful participation willfully versus obedience by force. Okay, we just spent time in what we call in our service praise and worship. Our sister Tracy gave a word and amened it. She was saying that God is pleased with our worship. God's pleased with our worship. He's pleased when a heart of a child willfully gives him thanks versus a forced obedience. And so if I'm just, then the other song we sang, you know, God doesn't just want a song. We can just give him a song. We can just give him a shell of a song. He says, I don't desire praise from lips where a heart is far from me. Right? Isn't that what a father wants? Isn't that what a true love is? It's not about coercion. It's not about obedience by force. It's about a willful participation. And that takes time. It takes a lot of time. And so the Genesis starts out and it says that God made image bearers. And what did God give to those image bearers? He gave them rule. He gave them dominion. That word gets blown out of a biblical definition. It's not domination. It's dominion. It's about rulership, short stewardship. And because we have to learn how to walk in stewardship, it takes so long. If you want to see somebody go nuts, give them a little power. I mean, it is. It's, you can complain all you want about how people run things. Everybody does it. But if you give some people that same power, it not only may destroy the entire organization, everything, but it'll destroy them. And so we have to learn what kingdom power is about, what kingdom dominion is about. If we're going to use it to coerce people who disagree with us, we're not walking in kingdom. Because that's not love. Love is about willful participation. Dominion versus domination. How to bring order from chaos in a proper way. So, bringing order from chaos. Jesus said in John 10:10, he said these words. He said, for the thief comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come. Life, more money. So the thief does what? He takes order and he brings chaos. God takes chaos and brings order. Isn't that what happened in Genesis? The earth was without form and void, and God starts to order it. Is it easier to destroy or is it easier to build? much easier to destroy. I can kick things down and take a sledgehammer to things, and it's simple. Any imbecile can do that. Doesn't take any thought, doesn't take any creativity, doesn't take any ingenuity to destroy. Anybody can destroy, but it's much more difficult to build. And because it's much more difficult to build, the kingdom is coming gradually. Gradually. And so God is looking for willing participation from his image bearers. So not obedience by force, but repentance through love. Let me tell you a story, okay? This is a story that is actually from the book A More Christ-Like God. This is, we're studying in the adult Bible study. This is, Brad Jerzak tells this story. It is a story of the gospel. The gospel is good news, amen? Amen. I guess it depends on how you tell it. So imagine there's a fabulously wealthy king who looks out the window of his castle one day, and in a distance he sees a beautiful Cinderella-type peasant living in the slums. His heart is ravished, and he thinks to himself, this is a perfect bride for my son, the prince. Unlike other kings, wicked worldly kings, he cannot just abduct her and make her a slave, a concubine to his son. He must genuinely invite her to take the hand of his son voluntarily. So along with his entourage and his son, they make their way out of the palace into the squalor behind the moat, searching hut to hut and through the markets until they find her. The offer is made. Young lady, says the king, this is my beloved son, the prince of this kingdom, an heir to all that is mine. I humbly ask you to come out of your life of poverty and oppression and to join my son in holy matrimony, enjoying all of the benefits that come with what a princess life would be. This offer seems too good to be true. All she needs to do is consent to the proposal, But there's a hitch. The king continues, you see, potential princess, there's a deadline. If you don't say yes by such and such a date, we will arrest you, put you in our dungeon where torturers will fillet you alive for ages, supernaturally keeping you alive in such a way that your torment is never ending. Moreover, after the deadline, your decision is irrevocable. No repentance is possible. The dishonor of your rejection is too great to warrant a second chance. The consequences of refusal are without mercy and utterly irreversible. The king, the prince, and the cohort leave, but the prince turns for one last glance at his potential bride, his potential future wife, and he says to her, oh yes, please hurry. And as always, know that I love you forever and for always, but only until the deadline. Is this our gospel? If it were, would it truly be a gospel that preserves and portrays God's essence? Is God after willing participation, or is he after forced obedience? The free will of humanity and mutual consent are inherent and necessary to the invitation. Because if God by nature is eternally the consenting bridegroom, there are two things he cannot and will not do. He will never make you marry his son, because an irresistible grace would violate your consent. Your part will always be and forever be by consent. His consent will never end, because a violent ultimatum would violate your consent. And divine love will always and forever be by consent. Gradually. The kingdom comes gradually. Psalm 136, his mercy endures forever. Jeremiah 31, I've loved you with an everlasting love, and I've drawn you with unfailing kindness. And so God's divine courtship doesn't involve wearing you down until finally you will love him when you give up. It's simply that he will always love you, and with a love that can even outlast and overcome death. The prodigal's father waits for humanity. So why does the kingdom take so long? Why does it take so many ages? Why does it take and come gradually? Are you thankful he waited for your choice? I'm so grateful that he revealed himself to me and came to me and asked me if I would like to be his bride. I'm so thankful that he waited in my ignorance, in my blindness, in my deception, in my illusion, in the constructs of my mind about all the ways that I thought he was. And he revealed himself to me, and willfully I said yes. And now I'm perfect. I'm perfect. Ask anybody who knows me. Tell them, Ray. That's what this means. He's right. Yeah. So I see the beauty, and I desire to be like him. You see the glory, the beauty, the essence of love, and you want to be like him. And God doesn't come in like a steam engine. He doesn't come in like a bull in a china closet. So patient, a father, and he's transforming you over decades and decades and decades. Is your love perfect yet? Is your joy full yet? Fullness of joy. I'm going through the fruit of the Spirit, if you didn't hear that. Is your peace 100%? Are you fully patient? Are you in complete self-control? No, I'm not, but I just can't wait till Jesus comes and he just snaps his fingers and makes me all those things. I don't want that for my kids. I don't want forced coercion. I want a gradual, continual revelation that my kids have that I would die for you. All right, so it comes gradually. This next part we're going to go through, I'm going to go through a little quicker. This is that the kingdom comes through mankind. The kingdom comes through mankind. Why is this important? Romans 8:11. Jesus comes incarnation, he comes as a man. Why is it important that Jesus became a man? And Jesus is bringing the kingdom. Because I don't know about you, but a lot of times I always thought that Jesus did so many things as God. Right? He walks on water. He does that as God. Raises Lazarus from the dead. He does that as God. He heals a blind man. He does that as God. All the things he does. He multiplies loaves and fishes. He does that as God. If that's the kingdom, then me and you can't relate. If that's the kingdom, then me and you can't do the greater works that he promised we would do. But if he did it as a man, that's a game changer. If he did it as a man, fully relying on the Spirit of God in him, that's a game changer. If he brought the kingdom, if Jesus went around doing good and destroying all the works of the enemy as a man, that encourages us that we can do the same. And so in Romans it says this, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. That same Spirit that Jesus fully relied on to bring the kingdom of God is the same Spirit that lives in you and me. And that's encouraging. Because a man did it. That Jesus came as the firstborn among many brethren, among a man. He wasn't just the first Adam. He was the second Adam. He's a man. He took on a flesh suit. He became a human being. 1 Timothy 2:5. There is one mediator between man and God, and it is what? The man. Sorry, Frank. You didn't know you were in Scripture. There you are, right there. The man. Oh, no, it doesn't say the man, Frank Jones, does it? For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, and it is the man, Christ Jesus. Why does he still have holes in his hands and in his wrists and his feet? Is it so that we can just know the sacrifice? No, he's a resurrected man. He's a man. A human. A humanity. And we can bring the kingdom just like Jesus did. Hebrews 2:14. Therefore, since children share in flesh and blood, bone and body. Adam said to his wife, you are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Jesus, the second Adam, says to his wife, you are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And since we partake of that, he also partook of the same. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So, the kingdom is so practical. It's so every day. It's so what's in front of you. Whatever your hand finds to do, you're bringing the kingdom. When you brushed your hair this morning, if you did, I'm looking around. If you took chaos on the top of your head this morning and you brought order, you brought the kingdom. Do you make your bed? How many are bed makers? I almost said bed wetters. How many do not make their bed? Because we're getting in it tonight. It makes no sense. For those of you who brought that order, thank you. How many of you made breakfast for somebody else this morning? Raise your hand high. Thank you, you servants of God. That's kingdom. Anything you do, anything is kingdom. It's kingdom. So I park in the driveway at my house. I'm the king of my castle. I want you to know that. But I park out in the driveway. Jackie and Jesse's car are in the nice warm garage. Jesse too. You know why? You know why Jesse's car and Jackie's car are in the garage and mine isn't? Kingdom. That's why. Do I always exhibit kingdom well as the king of my God? No. If it has to do with food, I'm probably not going to do it good. Jesse, I walked into your room yesterday. I can't remember why. Jackie filled our socks with Reese cups. Me and Jesse love Reese cups. Not as much as I love jerky, but I love Reese cups. And so Jackie fills our stockings with stuff and those, and I gobbled my Reese cups down since Christmas. I walked into Jesse's room, there's Reese, he was at Seven Springs and his Reese cups were on his desk and I went. It's so funny how we're all tempted by different stuff, right? There are things that I'm totally oblivious to that would tempt you and same, right? I mean, I was battling to not eat his Reese cups. What? I didn't. So I left his room smiling. And I ended up, someone bought me a whole bag of Reese cups that night. Let's see how God works. You know why my car's down here every week? It's not that big a deal. That's kingdom. I can walk. Those of you who need closer spots, I don't need a pastor spot. And I'm not down on pastors who need their sign. It says pastor spot. I'm just saying to me, If I can walk, I'm going to walk. And so kingdom, any way you serve other people, that's kingdom. And this is an upside down kingdom. In this kingdom, the greatest in the kingdom is the servant of all. And so our God isn't sitting on a throne going, sing to me louder. Try and stay in harmony and on key. I deserve better than that. What is that noise? Get rid of that peasant. Apparently I didn't give them that gift. Worship me more. Tell me how wonderful I am. You don't do it well enough. Is that all you got? That's all you got? You can't give me more? You call that obedience? And the kingdom of God, the greatest in the kingdom is the servant of all. And it's an upside down. Did you ever get involved in a pyramid scheme? You know who makes all the money? The people on the top. People who got in first. That's not kingdom. Jesus is the foundation. Jesus is the cornerstone. He's the greatest servant. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to and give. So in this kingdom, in any way you serve, in any way you put yourself under, the word in Greek is kenosis, self-emptying. Any way you do that in the kingdom, you're bringing kingdom. You're bringing order to chaos. And so it comes gradually. Sometimes I do it with gritted teeth. Sometimes I say, I've served and carried my cross 1,000 times this week. You just met me at the wrong time. Do you do that? That's why it comes gradually. That's why it comes gradually. But what a privilege to love one another as Christ has loved us. Yeah. And so when we screw up, we have mercy with one another. And we put your picture up on a TV and with your sin that you've committed. Because that's kingdom. Expose you. Now, what does love do? Covers. Father, we thank you for just who you are. Benevolence. Perfect love that casts out fear. I thank you for your patient dealings with us individually, as a community, as humanity. Oh, we long for the day when we will see you without the veil. If it's this good now, can't even imagine. And you've told us, Lord, we can't imagine. You're always doing exceedingly abundantly above, and you are. We sang holy, holy, holy today, and we joined the seraphim and the cherubim, and they are constantly amazed at your beauty. So, Father, we take rest in this, that we know you're bringing your kingdom, and it will prevail. You said it's finished, and it truly is finished. We're just walking it out. Thank you for the privilege as humanity that you took on our likeness so that we could walk and follow you and bring your kingdom to this earth. Thank you for being a part of this church family. Thank you for being a part of the church family in this community. And I thank you for all the future church followers that will bow their hearts to your beauty and accept you as their husband freely and willfully. Father, we just ask that you would bear the burden for those we love where we can't bear it. Thank you for how we can bear one another's burdens, but where we can't, we come to you as the friend at midnight. We ask for bread. So thank you for doing in the areas we can't do. Thank you for doing the supernatural where we can't. Thank you for righteousness, peace, and joy in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. In the